Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Thank you for this awesome worship team that you have gathered. Thank you for their hearts of praise and worship unto you. And Lord, I pray now, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Here we go. Let's get to the screen here behind me. And if you got your cell phones, if you could put them on the silent and off positions, amen. Here we go. I've entitled this afternoon's message, Jesus and the Feast of Passover. Jesus and the Feast of Passover. And we're going to look through a Hebraic lens this afternoon. Okay, I keep saying morning, but we're in the afternoon now. Amen. For many years, we were in the morning. Amen. Hallelujah. But the cloud moved to the afternoon. Praise God. So we're here now. And we are so blessed. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 7 through 8. As you can see behind me right there on the screen, on the left you see the Israelites during the times of Moses, during the times of Israel's captivity, during the times that the 10 plagues had to be given in order for the Israelites to be set free. The final plague was the death angel. And the death angel would come and basically destroy the firstborn of all the Egyptians. Now you got to remember the story. Many years prior to that, the Pharaoh went after the firstborns of the Israelites because it was rumored that the one that would set them free, the deliverer, would come. And so how ironic, 430 years later, the death angel would pass over. I need you to see that. You see on the left right there, the Hebrews were told to sacrifice a lamb, and the blood from the lamb, an unblemished lamb, they would pour the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost. And so thousands of years later, this was a foreshadow of what Jesus, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. Can I get amen? And so we tie this together only because in the scriptures that we're about to read shows you that Jesus was crucified on Passover day. And how ironic, at 9 o'clock in the morning on the Temple Mount, as they were binding the sacrificial lamb on the Temple Mount, they were binding Yeshua to the cross at the same time on that same day. And did you know that his father even picked out the songs? Because on the Temple Mount, the Levites would be worshiping, bind the sacrifice to the Lamb. And as they were echoing across the Kidron Valley, Jesus was being tied to the cross. He heard their songs at the same time. Just imagine Jesus being nailed, and he's hearing the cries of binding the sacrificial lamb to the cross, and he was the sacrifice that day for us. Wow. Wow. Well, we're going to see through the Word of God how this all ties in so that we have a Hebraic root understanding that Jesus is going to fulfill all seven feasts of the Lord. The Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, and then 50 days later, the Feast of Pentecost. Those four feasts have been fulfilled. We're going to show you in Scripture just now. The last three are yet to be fulfilled. The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Yom Kippur, and the Feast, woo, of Trumpets. Trumpets is what we need to look at, because the next greatest event that's going to happen to the church is the rapture of the church. Hallelujah. How many are rapture ready? Are you rapture ready? Meaning, are you filled with the Holy Ghost, ready to go? He's only going to take the ones that are spirit filled. I hope you know that are His. Can I get amen? And that day's coming. It's soon. Jesus said, when you see these days approach, I truly believe we're in the days of Lot and Noah. Look at all the chaos in the world. Look at the wars and rumors of wars. Look at all the things that are happening in our society. Look at all the anger and the hostility and the looting. Now you can just crash into supermarkets and just steal, and no one even apprehends them anymore. My goodness. Then you got the homosexual and transgender movement shoving it down your children's throats. The church will want to talk about that, but Jesus said it would be like that right before He returns. Amen. Amen. So that's why you need to be ready. Can I get amen? You need to be ready because Jesus is about to come and take His church home. Hallelujah. This is why you always hear me say this, get right or get left. Can I get amen? That means get right with God or get left behind. So are we there? 1 Corinthians? Let's read this right now. Let's read the word. And it says, therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, look at that, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Did you see that? It's in the Word. It's in the New Testament. He said, keep the feast. The Christian church don't even talk about the feast no more. But the Word of God speaks about it. So if it's mentioned here in the New Testament in the Word of God, who are we to forsake it? Who are we to not remember it no more? Look at this. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You see, saints, Passover has been the principal feast of the Jewish people for over 3,400 years. And since the Jewish people left Egypt, God's plan was never going to be thwarted. Can I get an amen? Passover is a foreglimpse of the redemption of mankind. And for those who will accept redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. I need you to look at this right up here. So this Tuesday through Thursday, sundown, April 23rd through the 25th, 2024, all around the world, the Passover feast is celebrated around the world. On the biblical calendar, it is Nisan 15 through 17, 5784. So we're on a Gregorian calendar. We're in April. So what's today, the 21st? But if you really want to know what time it is, get on the Hebrew calendar, because that's where God will meet you. He will meet you at His appointed times. Amen? And then it says, it's when Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried in His tomb. But even more profound, this Thursday, April 25th, 2024, on Nisan 17, 5784, Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, can someone give a shout? How many are so blessed to know that He rose from the dead for us? Woo, man. And so some of you are probably saying, well, where does it say He was crucified on Passover? It's in the Word. And we're going to go there right now. Turn your Bibles to John 19. Here we go. In John 19, look at this. Now, it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And He said to the Jews, behold, your king. This is Pilate at the time. But they cried out, away with Him! Away with Him! Crucify Him! Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then He delivered Him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led Him away. So that was the day before Passover. They were preparing for the Passover. The Jews celebrate it every year, annually, because of what God did for the Israelites when they were in bondage for 430 years. So the Jews celebrate Passover once a year. But how ironic, God the Father chose that Passover day that Jesus would die for the sins of the world on that feast day. Now, look at verse 17 and 18 right up here. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Many of you have seen, you know, movies that illustrate that he was in the center and there was another person on a cross to the right and to the left, and they were two thieves, right? One of them had a repentant heart, and the other one had a heart of pride. And Jesus told the one that said, "Oh God, remember me. Remember me when you go into your kingdom." And what did Jesus tell that one particular thief? "Today you shall be with me," what? "In paradise." Amen? And so, now let's go, we're going to drop down to verse 31 of John 19. Look at this. And it reads, "Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away." Okay, so as all three were on the cross, okay, it was customary before the sun sets that they would break the legs of the people that were being crucified. Why would they do that? Because they would slop down, they would drop down, and they would suffocate. They couldn't breathe no more. And then they would die before the sun set. So they sent soldiers out to do that. Let's pick up this story. Look at this. In verse 32. "Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his leg." You see, the Bible talks about not one bone was broken while he was on the cross. Amen? "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. It was the blood that had to be poured out. The water had to be poured out. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And how many are so blessed to know that we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Thank you, God. When we came with a heart of repentance and we cried out, hallelujah, then God, hallelujah, immediately washed us in the blood. Did you know that blood that was spilt is still spilling today? Can I get an amen? Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And so, let's look now a little further down in verse 40 of 19. Look at this. It says, "Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in stripes of linen and with the spices, as a custom of the Jews to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and the garden a tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was what? Nearby." Now, I want you to see this. I want you to see this chart I'm going to put up. We're going to see the seven feasts of the Lord, and we're going to see the first feast where he was crucified. Let's go there right now. Look at this. If you can see that right up there, and I don't know if I have a pointer on here, but look to the left, the Passover. Those are what's called the spring feast. Okay? So there was the Passover. The second day was unleavened bread. The third day was first fruits. Now, Jesus died, went into the tomb, and on the third day, he rose again. But look, it all took place on the feast days of the Lord. So, crucified, buried on Passover, in the tomb the following day, unleavened bread. Why do they call it unleavened? Unleavened because leaven was a type of sin in the Old Testament. So Jesus was laid in the tomb without any sin. Can I get amen? Amen. He who knew no sin became sin that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. So here he is in the tomb with no sin. Praise God. That's why he could wash away our sins, because he had no sin. And then on the third day, that is the feast of first fruits. Now look at the calendar of the biblical Hebrew Bible. Nisan 15 through 22, and then Nisan 17, which is this Thursday, he rose again. And why do they call it the first fruits? He is the first to rise from the dead. Can I get amen? Praise God. Praise God. Now, 50 days later, another feast was fulfilled by Jesus. The Holy Ghost was poured out. Remember, Jesus said, go to the upper room in Jerusalem and wait for the promise. And so as he was taking up, he said, go to Jerusalem, wait in the upper room, and wait for the promise. So 50 days later, the Holy Ghost was poured out on the feast of Pentecost. Can I get amen? Jesus fulfilled Pentecost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And all the people that were celebrating the feast thought that these people up in that upper room were drunk, because they were speaking in tongues. And Peter had to come down and preach his very first sermon. He goes, we're not drunk as you may think we are, but we've been filled with the Holy Ghost of promise. And then one of the things, after he brought a conviction of all those that were there celebrating the feast, they said to Peter, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Amen. Guess how many people got saved that day? 3,000 souls. It's in the book of Acts. 3,000 souls got saved. And why did so many get saved? Because they were all there celebrating the feast. And so God had their attention. They were all there, and God poured out his Spirit. Can I get amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And so now the last three, the fall feast, Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles, are still yet to be fulfilled. And so the next greatest event that's going to happen on this earth is the rapture of the church. And it's going to be on the Feast of Trumpets. Can I get amen? And when the angel comes and blows the shofar, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. How many is ready to be caught up? Oh, that's right. We will relinquish these bodies of flesh once and for all. And we will have a body like his. Did you know when Jesus rose again, he was the first prototype. No one has a body like his. But we will be like him, the Bible says. A body that will never decay. A body that will never die. Hallelujah. There will be no HMO and PPO in heaven. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And some of us, I believe God's going to give back our hair. I don't know. I just know that body is going to be a body that lives forever. Can I get amen? I'm asking God already, God, make that body 60 pounds lighter. Come on. Listen, God's going to do the miraculous. He's going to do something that's going to blow us away. And so God spoke to Moses regarding the feast. We need to go now back to the Old Testament and find out, how did this come about? You got to go to the Old Testament scriptures to see the parallel, to see the correlation, to see that a foreshadow was done through Moses and that the Messiah would come through the lineage. Can I get amen? And so we're going to see how those that were in bondage back in the Old Testament is no different than those today in our world that are bound up in sin. Can I get amen? We may not be shackled and in a cage and in prison, but guess what? we're a prison to our sin. Can I get an amen? And so we're going to look at this. Now, you guys all remember this. Okay, I remember I asked someone, are you going to watch the Ten Commandments when it rolls around? Oh, yeah. I don't know if you guys did. But we love the original movie, even though it was Hollywood. But you'll get an idea. You'll get an idea why this took place and how it became part of us today. Amen. And that's Moses saying, let my people go. Remember when he parted the Red Sea? Well, guess what? God parted the Red Sea in your life. Can I get an amen? When we were bound up in sin, many of us, I like what my brother G, he always says it best. We were all toe up on the flow up. Can I get amen? Oh, come on. We had no hope. And Jesus came. Hallelujah. And he parted the Red Sea in our life. Oh, that's right. What he did for them, he did for us today. Can I get amen? And the gospel is now preached around the world. Praise God. Praise God. So we need to go back and take a look back in the book of Exodus to see what took place so that we can tie in the Passover feast. Amen? And what Jesus did for us and our generation. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. Here we go. And it reads, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Let me just pause there. This is during the time 9 plagues had already been stricken the land of Egypt. This is now the 10th and final plague that God said would be used to set the people free. So it goes on to say right here, in verse 4, and if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. So notice, they needed a lamb for the sacrifice. Amen? Look at this in verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Now, how does that correlate with Jesus? Because there was no blemish on Jesus. In other words, Jesus had no sin. Can I get an amen? Amen. So your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep, from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. That's Passover. That's Nisan. Okay, it's spelled out right for you, right there. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat. God instructed them to do so, so that when the death angel would come, the death angel would pass over their homes. Passover. Hallelujah. Look at this in verse 8 now. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled with all the water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and entrails. You shall not, look at this, you shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. These were instructions given to God, to Moses, to set these people free. You know, God's a God of order. I hope you know that. Did you know that God's a God of order? You see, you can't just come anyway and say, oh, God, just save me. Yeah, I believe. No. The order of the gospel is you have to repent. And you got to cry out. And you got to confess your sin. God wants an order that you would come to the altar and cry out, or cry out wherever you're at and say, oh, God, I'm a sinner. Well, there was order with God here in the Old Testament, and the Bible says that God changes not. God is the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. So order will not change with God. Man changes the order. Oh, just come and just, yeah, just praise God. And there, people are still living in sin. They haven't repented. Look at this. And thus, you shall eat it with the belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff, what? In your hand. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and what? Beast. And against all the gods. Notice little g? They had a whole bunch of them. They had a bird god, a crocodile god. They had statues that could not speak. But they had all these little gods, huh? Frog god, yeah. They even worshiped the fly. Remember that old movie, The Fly? Help me, help me, help me. Oh, you don't remember that movie, huh? It just went right over you. Someone remembers that movie. But look at this. And strike all the firstborn of the land against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And so that judgment, that day, would signify that Jesus in our day was going to destroy the sins of the world. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this in verse 13 now. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, say that with me. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This will let us know, as a child of God, repented, hallelujah, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that when judgment finally comes to this world, He's going to pass over us. Can I get an amen? Come on, that is our shield and buckler. That is who will protect us. Thank you, God. It won't be the welfare system. It won't be your church. It won't be your pastor. It's going to be Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? He's going to watch over us and make sure no harm comes to us. Can I get an amen? Now, I want you to see this. This is key. Because as Gentiles, we're all Gentiles here. When we read the Word of God, sometimes we'll look and it'll go right past us because we haven't looked at it through a Hebraic lens. There are certain words in English that sometimes does us wrong. It doesn't mean that. And when you look at the same English word in the Bible and you look at it in the Hebrew contents, it says something totally different. So let's go to Leviticus right here. Leviticus 23:2. Look at this. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them concerning the feast of the Lord." Okay, so for us Gentiles, if you're reading the Bible for the first time, or maybe you're new to the Bible, or maybe you read this many times, one would think the feast of the Lord was hometown buffet, or Golden Corral, or all-you-can-eat China place, wherever they may be. Huh? You think it's food, huh? Well, we're going to see something different here. That's why I underline feast of the Lord. And then it goes on to say, which shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are what? My feast. So let's break down two words here. Feast and convocations. Because is that what your Bible says? It says feast, right? And convocations in Leviticus 23:2. So let's look at this. The Hebrew word for feast is also the word meaning appointed times. It means moed. Feast means moed in the Hebrew. It doesn't mean hometown buffet. It means moed. And moed means appointed times. So God has an appointed time. Are you catching me? Then the Hebrew word for convocation is mikra, meaning a dress rehearsal. So, for thousands of years, the Jews celebrate the seven feasts of the Lord. They're doing what's called a dress rehearsal. But then Jesus came, and He fulfilled the first four. It was no longer a dress rehearsal. He actually showed up, and it was Him to fulfill those four. Are you understanding now? The feast is Moed and appointed times. And Mikra is a dress rehearsal. So thousands of years, this is what the Jews would celebrate. But for us Christians, we don't have a clue. Us Gentile Christians. And so the Passover lamb was to be a male without defect. All of the people must slaughter the Passover lamb. There is deliverance for those people who are covered by the blood of the Passover lamb. How many can say to you, can say right now, without a shadow of a doubt, that God is going to pass over my sin? Come on. Okay, I only saw one hand. Okay, maybe some of you need to come back to the altar. I don't know. All of us, can I get an amen? Have been covered by the Passover lamb, by the blood. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. The Passover lamb was to have no broken bones, the same regulations applying to Gentiles and to Jewish people. Now, we're going to look at the parallels now. We're going to look at the parallels. The parallels of Passover and Jesus Christ. We're going to see now, side by side, how the Passover lamb is correlated with Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love teaching this once a year. Why? Because it reminds us that He is our Passover lamb. Yes, He is. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so let's look at our point number one. Look at this right up here. As Israel was in bondage to Egypt, so man is a slave to sin. We come into the world as what? Sinners. Right? And so you got to look at, in Israel, they were bound in bondage to Egypt. They had a slave master. Well, guess who was our slave master? Sin was. Can I get an amen? And for 430 years, the Hebrew people served the Egyptians. They had no choice. And every day they made bricks built by, they were building pyramids and they served their masters. If they disobeyed, they were beaten. If they rebelled, they were killed. And such the life of a slave back in that day. Now let's look at number two. Number two, look at this. Each of us was born into the world as a slave to what? To sin. All of us were. Every one of us. There was none that came out perfect. The Bible says we were formed in our mother's womb, shapen in iniquity. In other words, when we came forth, we were tiny little sinners. Oh, that's right. But Paul wrote so many critical writings in the New Testament to demonstrate the grace of God. How many believe that Jesus, hallelujah, is grace and mercy? Hallelujah. And love. Hallelujah. And good. Well, He came, guess what? He came for you. He came for me. When He was up with His Father in heaven, He came down for you and me. He thought of you already, thousands of years later, that He would come and die for us. But look what Paul wrote to the Roman church right up here. Look at this. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. And who was the one man that gave the offense? Thank you, Adam. It was Adam and Eve that fell in the garden. Amen? And because of their fall, sin has entered into the world. And it's been like that, and it's going to stay like that until Jesus comes and brings final judgment. Everyone is born in sin, every one of us. And if you don't think we have any, think again. Just in your mind alone, how many lustful thoughts do we have? How many times that we want to lie? How many times that we covet? Ooh, I wish I had that over there. Oh, come on. Because of our sinful nature. Until God changes it, we're going to be struggling with it. But Jesus came, hallelujah, to set us free. Can I get an amen? So look at this. Therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, The free gift came to all men, resulting in what? Justification of life. That's Jesus. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And also by one man's obedience, many shall be made righteous. We are now the righteousness of Christ by faith. Look at this in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace abounded much more. Can I get an amen? You know what that means, saints of God? Let me just pause here. You know what that means? That means while we were so caught up in our sin, before we came to Christ, He still loved us. He still had mercy. Oh, come on. You know how you were when you came to the cross? We was all messed up. We were all jacked up. Come on. You know my testimony. I had $500 of crystal meth in my sock 35 years ago. And yet God had mercy. God delivered me. He took away the addiction. He took away everything in one prayer that the custodian I prayed with at Horizon Christian Fellowship. He led me to a sinner's prayer. I didn't know how to pray. But as soon as I was saying, God, forgive me, come into my life, the Holy Ghost fell on me. And He fell on you. You know when you gave your heart to Christ. And you know what happened? He changed you from the inside out. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And so, the righteousness of Christ has been now imputed upon us. How many are so blessed to know? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are no longer in sin. And tell your neighbor, the righteousness of Christ is now upon you. By faith. Amen? By faith. Thank you, Jesus. That's God and God all by Himself. There's nothing we could take and give us glory about that. There's nothing we did. He did it all. He did it all at the cross. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. Jesus. Now look what it says here in Romans 3:23. We all know that this is a very familiar scripture. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in what? Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation, meaning a substitute. He came instead of us being on the cross. He shoved us out of the way and said, I'm going to the cross for you and for you and for you. He did it for us. Look at that. Thank you, God. And it was by His blood through faith to what? To demonstrate His righteousness. Because His forbearance, meaning His foreknowledge, He already knew 2,000 years later that you and I would come into the saving knowledge. Can I get amen? Amen? And so just remember and say to yourself, He came for me. Say that out loud. He came for me. He came for all of us to save us. Hallelujah. That is the grace of God. That's God's mercy that He didn't leave us in sin. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. Whom God sent forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. I need you to get a hold of that. For some of you, you could just go, it just went right by you. Let me read that again. The last verse of the scripture. God passed over the sins that were previously committed. Meaning, when we came into this world, we were what? Deep in sin, weren't we? And yet, God passed over that and still came to save you. Are you catching that? Despite of ourselves, He came to save us. He passed over that to save us. Wow. This is the love of God, the grace of God. But I do have a question up here. Why can't we simply stop sinning? Why is there such a struggle with it? Let me ask this question. You ever got on a diet and get off it again? Look, January 1st, we all make resolutions, right? And then the second day, we get off it. Have you ever started an exercise program and ended it quickly? More importantly, have you ever tried to clean up your life and miserably failed? You ever ask someone in your life, hey, come to church, you know, God will help you. God, oh, you know what? I'm not ready yet. You ever hear that? It's healing. I'm not ready. Yeah, when I get ready, I'll come. Well, guess what? You just told me you'll never be ready. Because it's not about works. It's about faith. It's about coming and walking in faith and believe and trust God that God can do the things that you cannot do for yourself. Can I get amen? He said, come as you are. He'll clean you up. Oh, that's right. Some people get trapped in certain types of sin. But sin is sin. Sin is sin. You know, there ain't no bigger sin, little sin. It's all sin. Can I get amen? We try to categorize, well, you know, I don't know about that sin. Well, okay. But what about the little one? When you walked into the store and said, oh man, there's a pack of gum. I don't got no money here. Oh, okay, you never done that? Okay. Come on. We all fall short, amen? But look, how many love the Apostle Paul? Because he spells it out. It's in the Word what he's done for us. And he explains to us. Look at this right up here in Romans. Romans 6:20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Oh, that's right. So the path we had taken was going to lead to death, right? But now, having been set free, say that with me, set free. And having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. How many are so blessed to know that?
Amen.
Come on. So blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at our fourth point right up here. Look at this. Just as the Hebrew people could not just leave Egypt, we cannot simply just leave our sin on our own. The Hebrews needed God to deliver them. We need God to deliver us from sin. Can I get amen? As the firstborn of Egypt died, so death comes to all men. Listen, we don't know when the rapture is going to take place. It could come tomorrow. It could come next week. It could come next year. We don't know, but God does. But however long it takes, this flesh will one day expire. And the flesh will go back to the ground. And I need you guys to pray for me because this Wednesday I'm going to be speaking at a celebration of life for my dear friend Frank Scott, the brother in the wheelchair who went on to be with Jesus. And he asked me before he died, will you speak at my funeral? He said, you bet I will. You bet I will. And I'm going to share the 4 years that we were all together, all five of us, Daniel Villalpando, Ray Wattis, Brett Weber, Frank Scott, and myself. For 4 years, we went to all the people we went to high school with. We knocked on their doors, and we gave our testimony. And many came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my beautiful wife back there was one who we came to preach to. Hallelujah. Almost 28 years ago. Come on, God is good. And people need to remember what God did in all of us that season. And that they should have the assurance that Frank Scott is with Christ. Can I get amen? And so look what Paul wrote right up here in Corinthians. Look at this. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises what? The dead. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Can I get amen? How many are so blessed to know that God is still going to deliver us? How many are so blessed to know that we're waiting for his appearing? That he's going to come and take us home? How many can't wait for that moment? Well, the times are coming close. And we see it. We see it. Now, let's go to our next point right up here. Look at this. God promised that the firstborn in Egypt would die. And did that come to pass? As surely as the firstborn died in Egypt, death comes to all. The Bible plainly says what is obvious to everyone. I'm talking about everyone in the flesh, not our soul and spirit. But look at this in Hebrews right up here. As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the what? Judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin for salvation. Now, did you catch that? Those who eagerly wait for him. Are you eagerly waiting for him? Or just taking every day, here's another day. He's looking for those who are looking for him. I hope you know that. We can get caught up in our Christian obligations and miss the mark. We can get caught up in life's affairs and miss the mark. We can get caught up in, oh man, I need to get this job, I need to get that job, there's no more money, I got to do this and I got to do that. And get what? And lose it. That God's coming. He's coming to deliver us finally and once and for all. But he's coming to those who eagerly wait on him, who will appear a second time. And God's going to fulfill that promise. Can I get amen? If God said it, guess what? I'm taking it to the bank. I'm taking it to the bank. He's coming again. He's coming again for us. And so, saints, note that word appointed is very similar to appointment. We all have an appointment. Listen, we do have all an appointment with physical death should he delay his return. I'm praying. I'm going to be speaking at my friend this Wednesday. But the moment he closed his eyes, he opened them again. He was with Jesus. Can I get an amen? Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I'm not worried where he's at. I'm going to be praying for those who are coming to celebrate his life. Where are they with Christ? And so we all have an appointment. Look at this right up here. And point six. Some 1,500 years later, a prophet named John the Baptist was preaching about the coming kingdom of God. He baptized people as they repented of their sins. As he looked up from the river, he saw a man coming toward him and knew exactly who he was. Did you know that Jesus, his primo, was John the Baptist? His first cousin. And he was the forerunner. John the Baptist was the forerunner. And look, he saw him coming. And look at this right up here in John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He knew that he was the sacrificial lamb. He knew that he was going to go to a cross and die for our sins. Praise God. Praise God. And so look at this right here, number 7. As the blood of the Lamb saved the Hebrews, so the blood of Christ saves us. How many are so blessed to know that? Come on, give God a shout. The same blood, hallelujah, that Jesus shed is going to save you and I. Thank you, God. And when we go to 1 John, there's deeper explanation right here. Look at this. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice what? The truth. But look at this in verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And here it goes. And the blood, say that with me, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from what? Some sin? All sin. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then here's the key for every born-again believer. Is right up here, the next verse. Look at this right up here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all, not some, all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, then we make him a liar and the word is not in us. Wow. Man, don't ever make God a liar, because he doesn't lie. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Can I get an amen? And so in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, God had to kill an animal to cover the nakedness. Something had to die and shed blood for the sin that was committed against God. Praise God. So look at this in Genesis right up here. I want you to catch this right up here. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics. Look at this. Did you know that God had to sacrifice and clothe Adam and Eve for their nakedness? So that was the first animal sacrifice that we see, and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he be put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And so that's why God said in verse 23, therefore let God send him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man. And so we see also in the book of Hebrews right up here. Look at this in Hebrews 9:22. According to the law, almost all things are purified with what? Blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, meaning there is no forgiveness. So God had to shed his own blood for you and I. Praise God. And why is the blood important to us? Why is it so important to us? Because in Leviticus, it says it all. God spoke to Moses. And look at this right up here. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. How many of you that take annual checkups, or maybe some of you go and check a doctor that for your kidneys or your liver or whatever, they always send you to go get a blood test. Why? Because they can see in the blood what's going on with you. They look. They can find cancer there. They can find your cells out of order. All these things. Because the life is in the blood. And so this is why Moses was spoken to God. For the life of the blood, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. And guess who went to the mercy seat and sprinkled his blood for you and I? Huh? Jesus. Hallelujah. He took his own blood. And he went to the mercy seat. And he went He splashed his blood on the mercy seat to have mercy for you, to have mercy for me. Can I get an amen? How many are so blessed to know that God had mercy on us? Mercy. And none of us deserved mercy, but he still said, I'm still coming to die for you. I'm still coming to save you. And I shed my blood for you. Praise God. Praise God. And in the book of Hebrews, look at this, right up here, it says this, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, that's Jesus, he said, sacrifice and offerings you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for who? For me. Look at verse 6 right up here. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. Okay, for those of you, what that means, from Genesis to Revelation, that is the whole volume of the book, and the whole book is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Jesus came in the volume of the book. From Genesis to Revelation. Hallelujah. He came in the volume of the book. It is written of me, he said. Look at this. To do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifices and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire. Meaning, back in the Old Testament, they had to drag these bulls that didn't want to come. They smelt the blood of other bulls, and they knew they were going to be killed. And yet they dragged them to the altar, and they had to slaughter them. They had to bring goats and lambs, and they were crying because they knew that they were going to be sacrificed. They didn't speak, but they knew. They smelt the blood. My goodness. And the Jews back then were tired of that. They didn't want to do it hardly anymore. So Jesus came. And he became the ultimate sacrifice. And he's the one that took away our sins. Can I get an amen? Previously saying, sacrifice and burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. That was according to the law, but here comes grace and mercy. See, the law pointed us our sin. The law pointed us to death. But Jesus scooted the law and said, I'm here now. I've come in the full volume of the book. And now I'm going to have grace and mercy on you. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus had grace and mercy on you. Well, yes, he did. Look at this. Look at this in verse 9. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. So he took away what Adam did, and now the second Adam came. And who was the second Adam? Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at this. By that we will have been, what? Sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. How many are so blessed to know that? Once and for all. Oh, come on. Once and for all. Thank you, God. And Peter knew about this. He wrote this in 1 Peter. Look at this. How many love the Word of God? Amen. Hang in there. Hang in there. Endure. If Jesus endured the cross, can we endure a Bible study right now? And be filled with the knowledge of God. To be confirmed in our spirit what God has done for us. Look at this in 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood, say that with me, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Did you catch that? He had no blemish and no spot. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And as the Hebrews were saved by applying the lamb's blood on the lintel and the doorpost, we are saved by applying the blood of Christ to our lives by faith. How many are so blessed to know that? Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you, God. That's right. And let's not go old school like, what's up, blood? No, it's not that. It's the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen? It's the blood of Jesus. And look at this. By faith, Moses kept the Passover feast as mentioned. But look at this, what Paul wrote in Hebrews. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith, we have received Jesus Christ. And by faith, look at this. By faith, look at this. By grace, you have been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, but what? The gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We're coming in now for a landing here. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And in the book of Luke, look at this. In Luke 24, it says, then he said to them, these words are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and prophets and Psalms concerning me. In your Bible, that should be red writing, right? So these are the words of Jesus. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Look at verse 46. He said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. My friends, I'm here to let you know that the Word of God has gone around the world now. Every continent, every nation has heard the gospel now. And one of the ways that we're being reached through satellite and now through social media, everyone has heard the gospel. That lets me know Jesus is soon to come. He's coming soon. How many can't wait? How many can't wait? That's right. He's coming soon. And look at this. It says right here, in his name to all nations beginning at where? That's where it started. Verse 48. Look at this. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Let me just say this and I close. Nisan 17 is this Thursday on the Hebrew calendar. That's the day that Jesus rose from the dead on Nisan 17. And did you know in history, on that biblical calendar day, many things took place. I have a little chart up here. Let's look at that real quick. I don't know if you can see it from your seat, but let's look at this. Is that too small for you to read? Yeah, I guess it is. Oh, under your seat, you have binoculars. I think I put them underneath your seat. Oh, I forgot to bring them yesterday. Let me read them to you. This is all Nisan 17, okay? All on this coming Thursday in biblical past. Number one, Noah's Ark safely rested on Mount Arafat, Genesis 8 and 4. Second one, Hebrews entered into Egypt. It's found in Exodus 12:40, years before deliverance. So they came in on that day. Look at this. Moses led the Israelites through the parting of the Red Sea. So just this Thursday in history, the same day on Nisan 17, the Red Sea opened up. And they came through this Thursday. Look at this. The next one on Nisan 17. The day of first fruits, Israel entered and ate the fruits of the promised land found in Joshua 5:10. Look what else happened on Nisan 17. The walls of Jericho crashed down. See, these are appointed times. These are appointed days. Unless you're following the Hebraic calendar, you will never know what God's going to do on His appointed time. And so, oh, thank you, brother. Look at that. You know what? When you got the genius back there, all things are possible. Okay, so we talked about the walls of Jericho. Look at this. The cleansing of the temple by Hezekiah 800 years after entering the promised land. You find that in 2 Chronicles. Queen Esther saved Hebrews from elimination on Nisan 17. And look at this. The resurrection of the Messiah, hallelujah, on Nisan 17. So this is what I would love for you all on Thursday. Those of you that know each other's numbers, just text each other. He has risen. He has risen. He has risen. Because that's the day He rose on Nisan 17. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Do we serve a mighty God? Is He worthy to be praised? Huh? Praise God. Listen, those of you right now that have logged in on Facebook and YouTube, maybe you've never given your heart to the risen Christ. We want to give you that opportunity right now. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. They have something to close us out. But maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to give you that opportunity right now. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you. And I truly believe God is going to do a miracle in your heart. And so let's bow our heart and our head and ask God to come in and save you right now. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is He worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.